You don't think about sexual health until it's too late. It's often something that you take for granted. And you don't get tested, or you wake up after a night of unprotected sex and you're just like, cool, whatever. It's actually scary how many of us don't think about it.
So November is Sexual Health Awareness Month, and I have realized that we are knowledgeable when it comes to HIV, but not so knowledgeable when it comes to STIs. So I took the time to document the whole process that is involved in an STI testing. So the steps, the costs, and just generally the whole process of doing an STI test. And I did this because I realized that a lot of my peers, even my friends, are not so knowledgeable about STIs. So we don't necessarily know about the costs, and also we don't necessarily pay attention to the symptoms that we encounter. My name is Gia, and this is hashtag Better to Know.
We are Tux FM 107.2.
So in order for me to document this STI testing, I had to find somebody that would physically undergo all the necessary steps that involve STI testing. So meet Mike, a young man from Pretoria who has been sexually active for most of his adult life. So Mike, what are we doing?
Okay, Kia. So what we're going to do is I'm physically going to go and get tested for a myriad of STIs, pretty much every single STI that is known to man. I'm going to physically go to a doctor in Pretoria, in Hatfield actually, and I'm going to draw blood, and I'm going to get tested, and I'm going to document the whole process. And then we're going to open the results of that test here in studio, and you and I are going to go through it together, and I'm hopefully going to be able to chat to a doctor as well about all of the implications and all of the things that I need to look out for. But ultimately, what we're doing is we're getting tested for STDs.
And why exactly are we doing this?
So for me, I share your sentiment in the sense that none of my friends, or a very small portion of my friends have actually gone and gotten tested for STDs and STIs. And that to me, especially considering how sexually active we are in Pretoria, is this is something that we need to admit. We are very sexually active for young people. And I think that that this is something that we need to address, and we need to start testing. So for me to say, yeah, no, we must go out and get tested and not do anything about it is, I think, a bit false. So I'm physically going to go, as I said, and I'm physically going to get tested, because I think if I haven't done it, then I can't judge somebody who hasn't either, kind of thing.
So take me through the process. What exactly is it that we're going to hear?
Okay, so you're going to hear a lot of voice notes of me just recording notes that I'm sending to you, or to my family or whatever it is, of me documenting the whole process from day one, literally, when I walked from the University of Pretoria main campus all the way down to HatMed, and when I had my first consultation in the doctor's rooms. So you're gonna hear all sorts of very interesting interesting little emotions that are coming through. There are a couple of voice notes that were a lot more difficult to record than I thought they were going to be. Because I thought that this process was going to be easy. I thought that it was going to be very easy for me to, just walk in, get my finger pricked, and leave with results. And it's not like that at all. That being said, I'm extremely glad that we've documented this process, because if we can help at least just, if we can help one person go through this process, then I think we've done what we set out to do here.
Talking about the issues that affect you, this is a hot topic on Tux FM.
Hey, what's up, Kia? Okay, let's get this whole thing started. I'm leaving the office now to go and do this thing. Let's get tested, yo. Hashtag better to know, son.
So how are you feeling at this point?
It's a beautiful, beautiful morning in Pretoria. It's a little bit warmer than it was yesterday, because it was a bit cold yesterday, I'm sure you remember. Okay, cool. So I'm now walking from the main campus of the University of Pretoria to HatMed. I'm feeling pretty good about what we're about to do. I'm feeling pretty excited. I'm also interested to see what happens in the consultation vibes. Whether the doctor like sits down and counsels me and like, I'm interested to see what she says, because I've got a whole bunch of questions that I want to ask. So I'm on my way to HatMed right now to go and get my first little consultation, and then I presume we'll do a test sort of vibe from there. Okay. All right. So I just finished my consultation. Now it's it's getting a bit real. I'm not gonna lie. So now I'm walking. I'm literally in the same Hatmin building. I'm walking to a to the lab, which is over the road from Hatmin. But it's quite an easy walk. You can actually see the lab from the doctor's offices. So I'm walking to that now. So I'm going to go and draw blood now. I'm feeling a little nervous. I'm not gonna lie. This became very real very quickly. So let's see how this goes. They're going to take two, as far as I understand it, they're just going to take a really small amount of blood. It's two vials, as far as I know. And then we'll take it from there. So let's see how that goes.
So how was the consultation for you?
The consultation was when it actually started to get real, to be honest. The doctor that I had, Dr. Dobbot, was extremely gentle in her consultation. She was very, very realistic as well. At no point did I feel judged. At no point did I feel as though I needed to lie about my sexual history. She was very, very to the point on some questions. She was very vigorous in terms of some questions. But I left the whole process feeling okay. I had a million and one questions at that stage, though. But I thought to speed the whole process up, I wasn't going to ask them then. Which I kind of regret. I should have used that time to talk to her directly, because later on, those questions that I had just snowballed into what if, what if, what if, what if.
So what was the blood testing process like?
Okay, so in this next clip, you're going to hear me talk about the actual blood, the taking of the blood, which was actually super chilled.
Was it painful?
No, not at all. And the young lady who I had taking blood from me was super chilled as well. So that put me at ease. All right. I just gave blood. They just drew blood from me. I'm now walking back to campus. That was a very bizarre experience. It wasn't lacquer, I'm not going to lie to you. When they took blood, there's no pain involved, really. They just take, if you've ever given blood before, it feels very similar to that. So it's just basically one needle in your arm, and then they take two vials of blood, and then you're pretty much done. But what is beginning to worry me is, this is now, I've done this thing now. I've gotten tested, and I'm concerned that maybe I haven't been as safe as I could have been, which is now concerning to me.
Wow, Mike, this is actually getting very serious.
Yeah, you're gonna hear how serious it gets in the next clip. Hi, Kia. It's 2:43 in the morning. I cannot sleep at all. Earlier yesterday, I went and gave blood, and we'll get the results later on today. But I am freaking out. I slept a little bit at the beginning of the night, but I'm so dead now. Because I've just gone through all of these emotions, and I've started thinking back to all of the times that I've, had sex, whether I used, protection or not, and I've just hyper-analyzed everything. I've got so many questions now, it just came out of nowhere. I'm going to, I think I want to interview Dr. Delport, because there's so many questions that I want to talk about, and I'm just not having a nice time now. So, yeah.
So, Mike, why did you decide to do this interview with this doctor?
Okay, so for two reasons. The first is because the moment that I walked into the doctor's room to get tested, I was just flooded with 101 different questions about the people around me, the people who are sexually active in Pretoria, about monogamy, about condom use. There were just so many things that I wanted to ask that I couldn't in the consultation, because we just didn't have time. So I invited the doctor that tested me, Dr. Delport, to come through and to explain a couple of the concepts that I was super concerned about. And the second reason is because I'm going to document this whole process, and I'm going to show you certain processes along the way, but I am no legal expert, and I'm certainly no medical expert either. It's just a lot easier to hear from somebody who's got a proper degree in this kind of thing. So you'll hear an interview where I'm asking a doctor questions that I think are relevant to young people in Pretoria.
This is the Hot Topic on Tux FM 107.2.
With me at the moment in studio is Dr. Dulport. She works at HatMed. She graduated from the University of Pretoria in 2013 and then went on to do a diploma in HIV. So I think if anybody in Pretoria is qualified to talk about STDs, it's Dr. Dulport. Okay, so all right, let's just quickly describe what we've done and what has happened. So I came to see you last week on Tuesday, and we drew blood. Well, you didn't draw blood, but you did a little bit of a counseling session with me, and then I went off to a lab, and that's where I drew blood, and I've done this STD test. Okay, so first things first, let's talk about STDs in Pretoria, and let's talk about STDs amongst young people. Why is it so important to get tested for an STD?
So starting off, I'd say STDs, so just so everyone gets an idea of what the word actually means, because STD is starting to be replaced by STI, which is sexually transmitted infection, as many of the diseases can actually be asymptomatic, so we'd rather speak of infection.
Okay.
And it's an infection that can spread to any sexual activity. This is from skin-to-skin contact, oral, like kissing, anal, penetration, sharing sex toys, all of that. And I'd say it's quite common to test for STDs amongst young people. We do see a lot of students coming in and requesting STD screens, some coming in with a partner, some coming in alone, some coming in with symptoms already. And it is important to know your status, because it ultimately improves your health by allowing for good healthcare planning. It means taking responsibility for your health, taking responsibility for your relationship. And getting tested is the only way of stopping the spread of STDs.
Okay. Am I right in saying that there are some STDs that don't show symptoms?
Yes.
So hypothetically speaking, I have a one-night stand with somebody and I end up in a situation where I don't know that I've got an STD. Is that sort of one of the main reasons why it's so important as well?
Yes, definitely. So a lot of your infections can lie dormant for years to months before exhibiting symptoms or being diagnosed. And it's definitely important to test, even though you've got no symptoms. And if you test positive, to treat your partner, even though he doesn't have any symptoms. Or if you come in and you have symptoms and you test and you test positive, to treat your partner as well, even if he has no symptoms. Because some of your most harmful STIs can actually cause the biggest problems, like HPV, which if you don't come for regular pap smears and screenings, you won't pick it up, and it can ultimately lead to cervical cancer.
Okay, so is it safe to say that there are certain diseases that would affect women differently to men, or it doesn't matter who you are, you should know you should know what's happening?
Yeah, no matter who you are, you should come in and test. We do see a lot more females being infected with STIs, and I don't know whether that is necessarily based on anatomy alone, having a larger surface area. They're more vulnerable to STDs and HIV. The majority, for example, in our country with regards to HIV, more than half of the people infected are actually women.
Yeah.
So just their anatomy alone makes them more vulnerable, but females tend to consult more frequently than men as well. So
I think women are naturally more cautious than men are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So the test that I've done, the test that you have put me through, what does that entail? What have I basically tested for?
Okay. So when it comes to STI testing, you've got a urine STI screen and you've got a blood STI screen. So we did for you the blood STI screen.
Okay.
Because you were asymptomatic. And
what does that mean? What
so you had no symptoms.
Right, okay.
You didn't come in complaining of, and the symptoms people would complain about is a genital discharge, burning urine, itching, swollen glands around the groin, pain during intercourse, lower abdominal pain, scrotal tenderness, scrotal pains and swelling, sores or ulcers on the genitalia, both painful and painless as well. So you had no symptoms. So we did a blood test for you, and the blood STI screen looks at chlamydia, because chlamydia is quite a silent infection. You won't always show symptoms. So just because you don't have a discharge doesn't mean you can't test positive for it as well. So it's better to do it in the blood then versus the urine. So if someone has a discharge, actually that's when we'll send away the urine, because they actually have a symptom with regards to that. And then we look at syphilis as well. herpes simplex, which is a bit a difficult one because you test for herpes simplex 1 and herpes simplex 2. And the majority of people think that herpes simplex 1 is the one that you get on the face, on your lips, those vesicles, cold sores that we get on the tongue, by our nose. And then herpes 2 is more known as your genital herpes. But it can. There is a small group of people that actually have herpes 1 on their genitalia as well.
Okay.
And can get oral herpes 2. So it's not so straightforward. And then hepatitis B and then HIV.
Okay, cool. All right. So all of that can be very easily tested in your blood.
Yes.
Okay, cool. All right. I have to say, when they drew blood, it wasn't as bad as I was expecting it to be. It's two vials that they take, and they actually really don't take a lot. The issue is the initial needle prick, though. Okay. So let's just talk about the sexual culture that we have in South Africa, because we're very quick to talk about sex in South Africa, and we talk about HIV quite often, and we talk about sexual awareness and sexual health, but we don't often talk about being sexually aware of your health, and this is one of the main reasons why we're doing this. Again, I ask it: why is it important for an 18-year-old who's sexually active in Pretoria to know what's happening in their lives?
It's like I said, if you know your status, you can improve your health by allowing for good healthcare planning. It means taking responsibility for your health, your own health, and then for your relationship with your partner.
Right.
As STIs compromise your general health greatly, they can lead to chronic, lifelong illnesses.
Yeah.
So it definitely is important to know your status.
So what happens if I'm an 18-year-old who is in a monogamous relationship and have been for years with the same person? But neither of us have never been tested. Why is it important for me or both of us to get tested there?
So, yes, monogamy does reduce your risk of contracting STIs and HIV, but we tend to think of a committed relationship and thus monogamous sex as safe sex. And this is when condom use decreases. The problem lies with serial monogamy, when you go from one shorter monogamous relationship to the next and in effect resulting in multiple partners. But each time you find yourself in a sexual safe environment where you forgo condom use. So ultimately, sex in a single lifelong mutually monogamous relationship with an uninfected partner would be the safer situation. But you need to get tested. Previous relationships, you know, people can have infections that lie dormant for months to years before they exhibit symptoms or actually get diagnosed.
Okay, cool. Just in terms of the common things that you must look out for, because I don't want anybody to panic, but accidents do happen, and you do have those one night stands that you wake up the next morning regretting. What should you look out for? Are there immediate symptoms that you can look out for? Should you rush to the doctor immediately and get tested immediately, or get antiretrovirals immediately? How do you do panic planning after something has happened?
Okay, so we do see a lot of people coming in with having unprotected intercourse or where the condom actually broke. So if they can come to a doctor within 72 hours, ideally as quick as you can, so that you can get post-exposure prophylaxis, which consists of ARVs that you take for a month. We do a quick rapid HIV test just to see your status at that stage, so that we can give you the post-exposure HIV medication for a month that you'll take, and do some other blood tests, kidney functions, etc. And as well give prophylactic antibiotics for STDs.
Okay.
Yeah, and it varies from men to females, from pregnant females to non-pregnant female. So it is important to consult within 72 hours.
Okay. Hypothetically speaking, the accident has already happened, and I haven't been able to come through in 72 hours, and I don't have cash to go and do an STD test, but I do have enough money to come and see a doctor. Is that the next best thing?
Yeah, I would definitely suggest coming to see a doctor, because in a doctor's office, you can go through history. They can get a good history from you. They can do a proper clinical examination. There's some in-room, in-consultation room tests that we can do. A rapid HIV test is 40 Rand that we can also do. And urine tests we can do, and then just discuss and counseling, because there's a difference between safe sex and responsible sex. Safe sex, I would say everyone knows that's when you use a condom. Responsible sex is when you take ownership. You come to a doctor, you get counseling, you bring your partner with, you educate yourself with regards to that. You're aware of the symptoms, but you're also aware that you can be asymptomatic and still be infected.
Yeah. So physical examination and then take it from there.
Yes.
And what kind of counseling? So I was fairly lucky in the sense that I got counseling from you, and I got counseling from other people, and I got counseling. But sometimes you'll be in a situation where you don't know what to expect. What kind of counseling can you expect before you do a test like this?
So the counseling in general is just to find out as well why you're testing, what are your fears, like did something happen. Just get a bit of a background story as to why people are testing and why they think they should be testing. Some people have very different ideas. They just heard something somewhere and they come to test, but they've never been sexually active. They've never. So just going through why they want to be tested and the background story, finding out about any symptoms that they have and what they understand about each STI, what their understanding is with regards to that, and what their understanding of intercourse is as well. Various people see certain types of sex not as sex, so they feel they don't have a risk. And then just going through the test and, you know, hearing or counseling them, what would it mean if the test is positive? What would it mean if the test is negative? What does a window period mean when we test, especially for HIV? And what the treatment entails as well. Counseling them on how to break the news to a partner if they do test positive, bringing that partner in, getting them treated, and then just future sexual health in general.
Cool. All right. I think that's covered all of the questions that I would want to ask.
Every Wednesday, we talk about your issues. This is the Hot Topic on Tux FM.
So earlier on, we spoke about the process, you know, the whole process of you taking the STI test. Would you let me know about the costs? And
okay, so at this stage, I had spent about 400 rand on doctor's consultations, because you need to book an appointment. And this is where a lot of people get confused. You don't have to do the test that I did, because the test that I did, it tests for everything. But like, really, there are many, many, many different things that they're testing for. And when I read the results, I'll show you. When I read the results, I'll show you exactly what those tests were. So at this stage, I'd spent about 400 rand on doctor's consultations, and then the test itself costs about 1,700 rand. But again, I say it, you don't have to do that test. There are many, many other options that you can go for. You heard Dr. Delport talking about doing a straight-up doctor's consultation. That's probably your best bet, which costs about 400 bucks, and she can give you a lot more of a better understanding, or the doctor can give you a lot more of a better understanding when you go for that test.
So at this point, I think it's time we reveal the results.
My community, my Tux FM.
Tux FM has signed a code of conduct that is enforced by the Broadcasting Complaints Commission of South Africa. Under the code, we are committed to giving news that is accurate, comment that's fair, and programming that is not harmful to children, does not amount to hate speech or the description of gratuitous violence or explicit sex. If you think we are not living up to that code, then you can inform the Broadcasting Complaints Commission of South Africa. Direct any complaints in writing to the Broadcasting Complaints Commission of South Africa, P.O. Box 412365, Craig Hall 2024. That's the Broadcasting Complaints Commission of South Africa, P.O. Box 412365, Craig Hall 2024, or send a fax to 011-325-5736 or an email to bccsa@nabsa.co.za. For more information, please visit www.bccsa.co.za.
Yeah, why did I agree to do this on air? Like, this is a very, very silly thing that I've done here. So just to describe my day to you this morning, I got a phone call from Dr. Delport to say that I've got that my results are not ready and then I can go and fetch them. And she said, should I read them? And I said, read them, but don't tell me the results because I wanted to read them here. So if at a later stage, I need to get consultation. I can go back to her at this stage, but I wanted to read it here, which was a dumb idea. But
I'm sitting here thinking, so you've never opened this paper?
No, so I haven't gone through it, except I do understand what it's going to say, because Dr. Delport did explain to me exactly what I'm looking for and how it's going to come across.
I'm freaking out on your behalf.
Okay, so remember, we're testing for HPV, chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, herpes, and HIV and AIDS. And then there's a whole bunch of other tests that they do that they don't include on the results because they're really, really small. And
okay,
so for chlamydia, I am negative. Why am I doing this? I'm shaking. I'm physically shaking. All right, so for TP antibodies, which I presume ties in with gonorrhea and with syphilis, I'm negative on both scores there. Then with herpes simplex, I am negative for that.
Okay.
Which is good. I'll be honest with you. That was the only one that I was really worried about. Because like herpes.
Why?
Because it's so common. Well, it's one of the more common ones. Mm. And that was and I know that I've got a specific kind of herpes and that you know.
Yeah. Like the mouth
thing. Yeah. Yeah. But this is so there's that. All right, hepatitis, I'm negative for that. And then for human immune deficiency virus markers, I'm non-reactive, which by my understanding means that I am
negative.
So according to this report, and it's final,
it says
final report, I am completely negative. Free of STIs.
That's impressive. So I wanted to ask you.
Sorry, just give me a second because that is crazy. That was the worst 2 days of my life.
Worst best.
Worst best.
So I wanted to ask you from this point on.
Well, what's next is I'm going to continue to use condoms and I'm going to continue to be clever about the way in which I do things. And I think also from this point on, the one thing that I've learned is from the get-go, just be honest with yourself and be honest with the people around you. And because apart from anything else, if you don't know your status, then you're putting somebody else at risk.
Sure.
And it can be something as small as chlamydia or it can be something as big as HIV. Like you've got to really, really, really focus on what you're doing to other people. But that being said, if we're asking the question, is it better to know? It is 100% better to know. Like it's 1,000% better to know. I feel as though a rock has been lifted off of my chest. Really.
Tux FM 107.2. It's about now.
Having gone through Michael's journey of STI testing, I have realized that inasmuch as I am educated and knowledgeable, I may have been quite ignorant, especially when it comes to STIs. I mean, I have been under the impression that as long as I am in a committed relationship, then I am protected. However, after this, I have been challenged to not just know about my sexual health, but to actively take care of my sexual health because it is always better to know than to assume. And we may know about sexual health, but do we really know? #BetterToKnow.